Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we are here together. Thank you for those who are watching online. Thank you for those who perhaps are listening at a future date. Lord, we say thank you because there's a hunger and a thirst to want to be transformed by your truth. And Lord, I pray that as we engage your word this morning together, that it will be your word, your truth, that permeates and breaks the hardness of our hearts. That any words that I speak that is not of you, I pray that they will not take root. And Lord, just thank you for the incredible privilege and blessing it is to be able to worship together, to sing together, and to discuss and pray things that are not of this world, but are from you, our Heavenly Father, and this mystery of faith. So Lord, help us to hear you afresh, in whatever way that may be. Help us to be inspired by your truth. Help us to continue our faith journey, wherever that may be. For you and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, so please turn to Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading from verse 8. We are continuing our small sermon. Well, actually, it's not that small. Our sermon series based on the cross. Phil Clements very kindly put a lot of this together for us to adapt and to dissect as we feel led to. But the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of God. So Colossians 2, I'm going to read from verse 8. So make sure no predator makes you his prey through some misleading philosophy and empty deception based on traditions fabricated by mere mortals. These are sourced in the elementary principles originating in this world and not in the anointed one. So don't let their talks capture you. Ooh. Now I'm reading from probably a slightly different version of the Bible. There's so much in that one verse. But really, this talks about the false teachings of the day and now the false teachings of today. The deceptions from these teachers that are trying to enslave us and entrap us that aren't of God. Do you think there are any false teachings today? There's a couple of very strong nods. Or do you think, oh, it's all fine, this is from the ancient days, there's no false teaching anywhere? That's an interesting question. And what is false teaching? Surely a Baptist church have got no false teaching anywhere. Maybe an Elim church will be saying the same. Maybe a Catholic church will be saying the same. Maybe insert any religion, cult, organization will be saying the same thing. So how can we discern in today's context for now those teachings that are enslaving us, entrapment, taken us away from the true message of Jesus. That word predator conjures up many images. And in today's context, we're safeguarding some horrific images. Predators in the animal kingdom, perhaps, is an imagery I wanted to think about. Predators and prey. Now, you know full well, maybe you don't, but I'm sure you've heard that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, ready to destroy and devour. Who's the devil's prey? Any idea? We are. Us. Human beings. Imagio Dei. Created in the image of God. So Satan, his main intention is to destroy God's creation. That's his sole purpose. And we are his prey. How does that make you feel? Happy days. Hey, that's joyful and cheerful. But it's so important to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. And so I know we talk about false teaching, but what's behind those teaching, the narrative, is going to enslave us on a path that is not of God. So misleading philosophy and empty deception based on traditions fabricated by mere mortals. Now, in preparation for this morning, there's a word that I came across which I haven't heard before. It's a Greek word. Have I put it on here? Yes, I think I have. Yes. Oh. Right at the top there, stoicheia. Stoicheia. Greek word that essentially means elemental. There's lots of different theological gleanings or perspectives on what this word really means, stoicheia. But I think the majority of commentators would say and agree that stoicheia refers to the elemental spirits. The elemental spirits. The demonic powers alluded to often in Colossians and Ephesians. So turn with me to Colossians 1:13. You have rescued us from dark powers and brought us safely into the kingdom of your Son, whom you love. Ephesians 1:21. Ephesians 1:21. He's above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, over every name invoked, over every title bestowed in this age and the next. There's plenty of verses, there's many, many scriptures that allude or clearly state that Jesus, God, is above all, true King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the tension in Scripture, that grand narrative, that meta-narrative, the redemptive narrative of God, is that tension between good and evil. The age-old classic story, good and evil. But in this case, it's the matter of our souls, not just some great, well-produced Marvel or DC or fantasy or love story or insert any story. This is our salvation. This is our very souls and that spiritual battle that we face is real. It's not a joke. This is real. So perhaps a modern day heresy would be, or what about the health and wealth prosperity gospel? Has anybody heard of that before? It's been around for a while now. Name it, claim it. If you so insert any amount of money, normally minimal requirement, will give you a special blessing, about £1,000 plus, then God will bless you. If you give all your money, then he will bless. That's probably a modern day heretical teaching. It's not scriptural. Sadly, many, many, many people have been deceived and are being deceived by this kind of teaching. And then you have the leaders with private jets, with huge multi-million pound homes, living that lifestyle. To me, that's not Christ-like. Some other teachings, perhaps in modern day contexts. Do you know, we don't need the Bible anymore. Who needs to read scripture? Don't need it. Really? It's all about us. We are little gods. Or perhaps in some of their teaching, we are God. Come to this church and you'll be saved. Come to this human being and that's where you're going to get your salvation. There's actually a lot of Gnosticism creeping back into the church. Gnosticism being all about the mind, all about mystical things, the Gnostic texts. It's all about signs and wonders. All about signs and wonders. With not really any biblical teaching. Interesting. Ultimately, heresy, traditionally, is perhaps more in line with going against the traditional viewpoint of Protestant Christianity. Heretical teaching. It does get a bit blurry, though, sometimes, because we have big, well-respected denominations who are interpreting elements of scripture that some would say that's heretical, others would say that's Christ-like. And I'm sure here in this church, in this very place right now, there will be strong opinions on some of the outworkings of scripture. How do you discern the way forward? Anyway, okay. Colossians 2. Let's read on from a bit 9 to 12. You see, all that is God, all his fullness resides in his body. You, too, are being completed in him. The one who has dominion over all rule, all authority. In him you were also circumcised, set apart by a spiritual act performed without hands. The anointed one's circumcision cut you off from the sinfulness of your flesh. Circumcision. Wow. Before I come to that delightful imagery. Thank you, you did that without me pressing them. Yes, thank you. Okay, who would like to go ghost hunting? Anybody want to go ghost hunting? Anybody want to go and receive a seance or the Ram's Inn? Yeah, the Ram Inn here in Wootton Underedge? Are you aware that they strongly advertise and advocate they are the most haunted place in the whole of the country, right here in Wootton? We're famous. I say you, I live here now. We're famous for that. Yay, isn't that great? So if you want to go and get scared and have some amazingly well-educated person come and teach you how to hunt for spirits and ghosts. And there's on their website, Ouija boards and all sorts of things. That's right here in this town. Very active. Don't worry though, Sundays you get a discount. It's on offer a little bit on the minute. Wicca is a very big thing in this area. The pagan practices you may see in shops, even on the high street, a lot of things pointing to the dark world. It's becoming more and more popular, more and more easily accessible. Palm reading, tarot card readings, many things like that here in Wootton. Freemasonry. Do you know there's one of the most significant lodges here in Wootton? The Masonic Lodge. It's a big deal. Do we even know the culture we're living in? Are we even aware of how we are living in the world, not of the world? Do we have any concept of what is happening spiritually here, in this place, in the Cotswolds? Circumcision. Right, okay, it's time to get the knives out, guys. Let's go for it. No, I'm joking big time. Circumcision was the physical act of removing the foreskin to designate a man as one of God's people. This was a traditional Old Testament act of circumcision to have that covenantal relationship with God, to be set apart. But it's interesting, scripture, that's a very man-orientated act. Yes, it's outworked because of faith, because God is a holy God. But then it clearly, we read in scripture in the New Testament, the circumcision of the heart, of the heart. Well, what does that mean? How can we get our hearts circumcised? Ultimately, sin is not all right. It's from the devil, the pit of hell. I joke with the kids, although it's not really a joke. How long have I been saying, since they were lying? Our kids do lie sometimes. Our kids are not squeaky clean. But it was like, you do know that lying is from the pit of hell. And it's just really funny when Rhea, she's 9 now, but when she was like 7, 6, lying is from the pit of hell. You're like, oh, no, what on earth is we, what have they picked up? But there's something about the flippancy of how we live our lives. The Old Testament, cool, there were significant consequences of sin. Like, significant. And the amount of things that people had to go through, the ritualistic outworkings. I mean, you've just read the, what was it? Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all in one go. And the amount of things that people had to abide by just to keep themselves holy, as it were, in that covenant relationship. But today, circumcision of the heart. It's not performed by human hands. It can only be performed by Jesus, Holy Spirit, God. That transformation in our hearts from the inside out. Surrendering all of our perceived controls, surrendering perhaps what we think is right, but circumcision of the heart, the Holy Spirit coming and breaking through what the world has taught and enslaved us. And God's word is likened to the sword of the Spirit, and it pierces the darkness. And as we read scripture and engage with this narrative, the grand narrative of the redemptive heart of God, it breaks down our hardened hearts. It inspires us. God's truth comes and pierces our hearts. But we've got to be able to surrender to Him. I believe that the Holy Spirit won't just force, right, you're going to be zapped now, but you're going to be zapped, boom, poo. But true transformation, how are we being inspired to live in the world, not of the world? So the circumcision of the heart. And then we read a little bit further, Colossians 2:13-15. And when your flesh was still uncircumcised, dead in transgression, and swathed in its sinful nature, it was God who brought us to life with Him, forgave all our sins, and eliminated the massive debt we incurred by the law that stood against us. He took it all away. He nailed it to the cross. But that's not all. He disarmed those who once ruled over us, those who had overpowered us. Like captives of war, He put them on display to the world to show His victory over them by means of the cross. By means of the cross. Forgiveness must take place before God can make us alive. Because sin is an abomination that must be destroyed by God. Christ had to become the atoning sacrifice, providing redemption by paying the ransom payment, purchasing us for God, procuring our freedom from the enslaving power of sin, and thereby bringing about our forgiveness from sin. All sins are forgiven. All sins. So the cross, Jesus' death and resurrection. The victory over death, over sin, was carried out on the cross. The power and authority of Christ's blood shed for each and every one of us. That sacrifice. There is no one, no authority, no power, no false doctrine, no cult, no spells, no incarnations, no human sacrifice, devil worship, nothing, nothing, nothing is more powerful than Jesus Christ. His blood, the atoning sacrifice, is all powerful. That is our Savior, Jesus. Wow. We can live in this world. We can live in Wootton, where there is witchcraft, Wicca, Freemasonry, spells, crystals, and walk not in fear, but in confidence, in assurance. We can walk in the fear of God, not the fear of the devil. And that is our Savior. Do we even grasp that? When I say the word King David from Bible, just maybe shout out a couple of words you think of, phrases, when you think King David.
Forgiveness.
Shepherd. Lamentation. Oh, missed that. Loved God. Yeah, man after God's own heart. You have to pay me £500 and then you'll receive the blessing. No, I'm trying to. Contrition.
Did things the way God had shown him to do things in the way that other people.
Yeah. Yeah, so David, he did the things that God showed and told him to do, not man's words, man's opinions. Think of the armor. Yeah, this is the king's armor. It's interesting, he was a bear wrestler. He wrestled bears. In the background, with no one looking, he looked after the sheep. The sheep knew his name. And he warded off the attacks of the predator. He literally put his life on the line and wrestled bears. It's funny. We don't often think King David, bear wrestler. But he did. He did. Wow. And that, it's not a nice picture, but that picture up there of the lion, that Satan roared, like prowling like a lion, ready to devour and destroy. And then, of course, we have Jesus, lion and the lamb, who laid down his life as the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus being the good shepherd. So shepherds would wrestle bears if they loved their sheep. Shepherds would lay down their life on the sheep gate to ward off the attacks of the predators. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and I. He's not a hired hand. He doesn't do it just because he has to tick a box. No. And you know the cross? The sovereignty of God. That is a massive statement, I believe, that we carry in our hearts. Maybe you have a physical cross. But that glory and sovereignty of God living in and through us, we hope, as best as we can through our human frailties. Love disarms. Grace disarms. Mercy disarms. Humility disarms. So the fruits of the Spirit matter. To love our enemies, what does that look like? To look beyond the flesh and blood and to see through heaven's perspective. How do we pray for this? How do we love people who are out to get us? But Jesus disarmed the power of sin, the power of hell, by dying as a sacrificial lamb on the cross, perfect and spotless, rose victorious. The cross, the ultimate symbol of God's redemptive heart. That sign that says sin is defeated. That symbol that Jesus is with us to equip us to live as salt and light in the world. God is a holy God. May we be mindful, not in a mindfulness way, but let us meditate on God's word truly. Let us not be afraid of the darkness, but let's be wise in how we engage in spiritual warfare, in how we approach people that we are neighbors to. We're not lone rangers. That's very, very dangerous. We've got to pray, support, be there for one another. Walk on this narrow path of discipleship and know that we are, when surrendering with Christ, forgiven, called, and chosen. Amen. I'm going to sing a song. Sorry, that went on, my sermon went for a bit longer. There's so much more to say. But it's in line with the teaching of the cross and the significance of Jesus Christ. Regularly examine your thoughts, actions, and motivations. Seek to identify and remove anything that hinders your relationship with God. This could include negative attitudes, harmful behaviours, or unkind thoughts. I'm just going to sing a song, then there'll be a time of reflection together. Nicola and the team will be leading us in sung worship. And deliberate space in this space to pray, realign with God, and maybe there were some things in your own lives that you think, you know what, I feel like I'm under attack. There's something not right here. Now, yes, we're not in a physical war zone where literally people are under attack. But we're in a spiritual war zone where we can disarm the enemy by the fruits of the Spirit. But how are we praying? What things perhaps do we need to give over to God? An opportunity to really examine our hearts about where are we in our faith? Who do we truly submit to and serve? So, Lord, thank you so much that we know the assurance in you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are all powerful. Thank you that as we stand firmly on your truth, on the rock, the cornerstone, that we are more with you. More than conquerors, not gods in our own right. No, 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 no. Lord, with the deluge of false teaching, the heretical and actively and intentionally damaging strangleholds of false teaching. In a world that a Christian can stand up and say, it's because of your sin that you're not healed. In a world where a Christian can say, if you just give 10 more thousand pounds, then this time God will heal you. In a world that talks about astro projection, New Age practices, and demonic practices under the guise of Christianity. And there is so much more. But even here, in lovely Wootton Underedge and surrounding areas, there's a very real spiritual battle taking place. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that surrenders to you and your authority, your rule and your reign, your sovereignty. Lord, I pray as individuals and as a church gathered that we would not be defeated by the enemy, but we would stand back up when we feel battered, broken, hopeless, and we would champion one another to get back up and to keep engaging in life for your glory. Lord, I pray for wisdom to know when to rest, when to receive that healing, when to receive being carried on a metaphorical stretcher. When there's no words left, there's no hope, to be able to surrender to others and trust. Lord, I pray for wisdom to know how to live with governance as a charity, all these legalities that we have to abide by, but that tension between God's kingdom, man's kingdom. Lord, pray for protection on each and every one of us. Help us to surrender and to be really grafted into the vine, you, Jesus. Where we are the branches, you are the vine. And Lord, pray for that wisdom to know how to talk, how to engage with people who have just so, they've been so deceived by false teaching. Lord, we long to see our own lives and lives of others truly alive. That circumcision of our hearts to be your hands and feet, to speak up to the voiceless, the destitute, to reach those who haven't been spoken to for a long time, the lonely, the discarded. Lord, we pray for freedom from deception. In your awesome, powerful, holy name. Amen.